Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Tuesday, March the 12th. And first today, we can hear from an Ashford woman who's spoken out about the moment she was seriously injured in a dog attack. Faye Haggart suffered a fractured elbow and needed stitches after being dragged to the ground in Kennington in June last year. She's now slammed a decision by the courts not to put the Rottweiler crossbreed down. Instead, he's been monitored in a kennel for several months and deemed not to be a threat. Well, the pet will have to be muzzled in public and his owners have been placed on a 12-month community order and each need to carry out 150 hours of unpaid work. Well, Faye has been speaking to our reporter, Chantelle Weller.
I was just walking home from a night out, happened to walk around a corner to see a couple with a dog. And the next minute, the dog was attached to my arm. Totally out of the blue. Can't think of any reason why it would have happened, but unfortunately it did.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that moment. Obviously, you said that it's one of those things you never expect it to happen, and in the moment, obviously, you were just focused on trying to get the dog off your arm. Tell me a bit about that, and then when you then realised what was happening and things.
Okay. Well, the first thing, it was almost like disbelief. I couldn't believe that it had actually happened. Then I just kind of almost went like blank, couldn't remember anything at the time, and then the sudden pain, well, severe pain. I think I said to you earlier, I'd rather give birth than have to go through that pain again. And then the next minute I'm being pulled to the ground and screaming. And then I remember screaming at that point. I mean, it must have been a good 60 seconds or so before I'd even registered the fact I was screaming. They managed to eventually pull the dog off. And the next thing I remember was the mother saying to me, be quiet and calm down.
It must have been really frustrating to hear as well.
It was, yeah, because I mean, you know, you're in that much pain when you've registered what's going on and that, and you're in pain. So what do you do when you're in pain? You scream.
Yeah, of course, anybody else would, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
So after that, you then called your son.
I called my youngest son, yeah, who, because we're literally within like a 2-minute run from where it happened, and he was literally there within 2 minutes, and I was sitting on the floor and he helped me get up, and at that moment the lady that was sitting with me just wanted to disappear. My son was saying, you know, can we take your name, where do you live, and she just didn't want to know, just went.
Yeah, it's awful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you then went to hospital.
Yep.
And then when you got to hospital, you sort of found out eventually that you'd have to have this surgery.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about what that surgery is. Obviously something you've got.
Yeah, I've had a radial head replacement. So basically the radial head on my arm was too badly damaged to be able to fix it with pins and that. So the best option was for the radial head replacement. But it just means that I don't have full use of my arm.
Mm.
I'll only have got about 80% use.
Mm. And obviously it was in court last week.
Yeah.
And you said that you weren't happy with the outcome.
No.
What do you think should have happened?
I think the dog should have been put down, that's my first opinion. Or at least if they wanted to rehabilitate it away from this area. I believe that they should have been banned from having animals. Because I think that once they've served their sentence, but they've got to their community service and that's it. They just move on. Whereas I've got a reminder forever.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you now. And a woman's gone on trial accused of helping her boyfriend lie low after a fatal shooting on Sheppey. Daisy Donohoe allegedly booked a hotel and provided food and clothing for Jonathan Lawler following the death of Sam Petru at a chalet park last June. The suspected gunman died in prison while awaiting court proceedings. Donohoe, who's 36 and from Burnell Avenue in Welling, denies perverting the course of justice. A Ramsgate man who sent explicit messages to a girl he thought was was just 12 years old, has been jailed. Michael McGee also tried to arrange to meet the child in person between November and December last year. The 38-year-old from King Street has been locked up for 6 years and 8 months. A court's heard how a man smashed up an Asda lorry with a crowbar in a road rage attack in Dartford while stuck in traffic caused by Just Stop Oil protesters. You may remember they'd climbed onto the QE2 bridge in October 2022 and caused huge tailbacks. Well, Sydney Smith was on his way home from Rochester to Essex when the delivery vehicle clipped his car. The 25-year-old from Lower Dunton Road in Brentwood has been ordered to do 100 hours of unpaid work and pay compensation. If you follow Kent Online on socials, you can see a CCTV image of a person being hunted after graffiti was sprayed on a car park wall in Canterbury. The multi-story on Station Road West was targeted last November. A picture of the damage has also been released, which features the words, "No escape." And a former church pastor from Ramsgate, who assaulted his wife of 16 years, has been sent to prison. A court heard Joshua Jimble became enraged after his wife was brought dinner and given a lift home by a friend from church. The 43-year-old, who lives in St John's Avenue, was sentenced to 3.5 years.
Kent Online reports.
Next today, and after it was revealed the number of community wardens in Kent is set to be cut, one village has taken matters into their own hands. The county councillor to scale back the project by as much as 40% to save £1 million. But that has led to concerns. Some areas could see a rise in antisocial behaviour if patrols are no longer happening. In Headcorn, the parish council have decided to fund their own community liaison officer instead. Stuart Ellesmere is the man with the job.
There is a reduction in money coming in to councils and to agencies and everybody else. So if an area wants to be more resilient and look after its own people, then I think it's a fantastic thing.
It's hoped he'll be able to work with the police, borough council, social workers and housing officials to alert them to issues before they get out of control. Stefan Christodoulou is the parish clerk and thinks it'll be a vital role.
We felt that if that position was lost, a lot of people in the village, the most vulnerable people in the village, would very quickly know about it. Their problems would increase. It would make it so that we were then responsible for these people, but without all the links and knowledge that Stuart has, able to help.
Now, the village also recently lost their police community support officer after a reorganisation by the Kent Force. However, they do have two shared officers, although councillor James Thomas fears that's not enough.
The truth is, there's nothing we can do about the police. We can't employ a policeman. I know we have police. You can see them all the time driving through the village. They're not stopping. Now, I know that we do have two resident police people, and that's marvellous news. But they need to be more visible.
Kent Police say there has been an increased focus on tackling crime and antisocial behaviour in Headcorn, and dedicated beat officers are helping to respond to concerns. Well, perhaps you live in the area. What do you think of this latest addition? You can get in touch by emailing news@thekmgroup.co.uk.
Kent Online reports.
Figures today show another rise in unemployment in Kent. 39,165 people were claiming out-of-work benefits in January. That's 245 more than the previous month. This is one of our most read stories on the website today. An independent garden centre in Stroud could be closed and replaced with housing. Plans have been submitted to Medway Council to develop the site off Dillywood Garden Centre off the A289 in Higham. Those behind the proposal say it will be an efficient use of space, but people opposed have concerns over traffic and parking. We're told a decision is due in May. Meantime, plans have been unveiled for more than 350 flats and commercial space in Chatham Town Centre. Developers want to convert the former Go Outdoors building and Home Plus furniture stores. It can use the design. You can see the designs at Kent Online. A two-week consultation is underway to find out what you think. A survey has found one third of Kent's road closures shouldn't have happened and were found to be breaking the rules. An audit of works revealed 5 were deemed unsafe, 3 roads were closed but no work started, and 4 had incorrect signs. It's prompted calls for a change to the system and for central government to increase fines for those caught breaking the rules. Meantime, ANPR cameras are going to be installed in Kent to try and catch bad drivers. The county council have signed up to a scheme which will see fines issued to those who ignore or no entry signs, drive along bus lanes or block yellow box junctions. It's due to come into force in the next few months. And staying with transport news, more trains are going to be running between Maidstone East and Charing Cross from this summer. Southeastern have announced they're adding two new fast return services from London in the evening. It's been welcomed by commuters who've campaigned for better travel links in the area.
Kent Online News.
The boss of a charity-based gym in Canterbury is urging young people to get off TikTok and get fit. Ollie Nonis also runs a security company and is hoping to encourage more teenagers to take up boxing. He thinks it would instill more discipline along with improving physical and mental fitness. Ollie's been chatting along with head coach Chris Harrison.
City Boxing is an amateur boxing club. We're a charity-based club. We are here to bring youths in to promote amateur boxing in any way, shape or form. Training it gives you drive, ambition. We're a big community here, so it's not just about the boxing. We're here for everybody else. This boxing is based on discipline.
I think creating a positive role models, influence on the local youth. I think there's too many negative influences out there, and we see a lot of that with the local kids, and it's trying to steer them away from that. To a positive, getting themselves fitter, not just physically but mentally, and realising that there are, you know, better options they can take in life as opposed to hanging around and potentially getting into trouble.
And you can see how our reporter James Pallant got on when he stepped into the ring by clicking on the story at Kent Online. Artwork is being auctioned off later to raise money for the Heart of Kent Hospice. Sculptures, ceramics and prints are all going under the hammer. Two unique pieces from England footballer Alessia Russo are among the collection. A pair of turtles are settling into their new home at a prison on Sheppey. Leonardo and Donatello have been rescued from an animal shelter and relocated to a wellness space and pond at HMP Swale site. It's been created by inmates and will be used by staff during breaks. And the UK's first all-vegan theatre and entertainment venue is going to open near Canterbury next month. It's been set up at the site of the former New Canterbury School in Garlinge Green, which closed last year after Ofsted inspectors rated it inadequate. It'll now be an independent theatre for education, community groups and local production companies, and will be serving ethically sourced food and drink.
Kent Online Sports.
First in sport today, we've got news on a campaign that's running on the website to try and tackle bad behaviour in football. Well, I'm joined now by our head of sport, Matthew Panting. Matthew, can you tell us a bit more about this campaign then?
Well, for the past few seasons, we've been highlighting disciplinary cases, which are originally published on the FA's website across at Kent Online. online.co.uk, and some of the behaviour and incidents that we've seen have been quite alarming and quite distressing, really, when you think of some of the circumstances involved. But rather than just highlight those cases, what we've tried to do this season is include the message to stamp it out and also incorporate some of the FA's own campaign material around improving pitch behaviour on and off the pitch. Hopefully by highlighting the bad behaviour, it might encourage others to think twice about their own personal conduct and improve their behaviour around their game, and hopefully lead to better standards going forward.
And can you also share with us some of the behaviour that's been flagged up?
Well, some of the incidents are quite alarming. An under-16s game in Fannet, for example, was abandoned due to the threatening behaviour of one of the coaches. He was then given a 147-day ban from football and is no longer involved at the club following that incident. Sunday league player at Dartford Athletic received a 98-day ban after abusing a referee, in this case that saw him threatening to knock him out. We've also had a spectator punch an assistant referee during a Sunday league game in the Folkestone area, and a Canterbury United player was banned for 147 days for persistent abuse of a youth referee during a Saturday League Challenge Cup match.
Thank you ever so much. Some shocking examples there. As Matthew said, you can read those stories on the website as we aim to stamp it out. Same with football, and Gillingham will be fighting to stay in the League Two playoff places when they travel to AFC Wimbledon later. The Gills will be hoping to bounce back from Saturday's draw against Tranmere Rovers. Tonight's opponents will be looking to get into the top seven. And head coach Stephen Clements says it's going to be a tough game.
They're all difficult. There's a lot of spirit and fight in the division from players, from managers, I expect no different from Wimbledon. They gave us a very good game here at Priestfield after I first arrived. We managed to beat them on that occasion, but they were a very well organised team, and I know Johnny and Terry Skiverton, their coaches, and they're good people, good coaches. And as I say, it'd be difficult. But if we go there and perform how we can, it'll be very, very difficult for them too.
I think it's one game, and then I think after that game, we've got 8 games to go. So I'm really trying to emphasise to the boys at the minute, it's one game at a time, and I know that's really boring for you guys and really boring for supporters, but that's what it is. If you start thinking about what each game means and what have you, then sometimes it can get on top of you and become too much pressure for a football player. So I think they've just got to concentrate on performance, concentrate on the game plan, which helps us beat the next opponent and helps us stop the next opponent. Then that's all we can do. And if we do that well enough, results will be good enough, in my belief, and we'll be where we want to be. But it's one game at a time. I don't think we've been too bad away from home again since Christmas either. We haven't won every game, of course. We've lost three or it might be three or four, whatever it is. But we haven't lost many. We've had some really good results on the road too. I'm disappointed to lose it at Barrow. Mm. You don't want to lose someone who's a rival that's challenging for those playoff spots or automatic spots. But it happened. And one thing's for certain, we probably won't win every game between now and the end of the season. But we've got to make sure we're in there with a shout with 4 or 5 games to go.
Kickoff is at 7:45. You'll be able to follow the match action at Kent Online. We'll have details of the result in bulletins on our sister radio station KMFM tomorrow morning, plus further reaction in tomorrow's edition of the podcast. And finally, in tennis, Kent's Emma Raducanu has been knocked out in the third round of the Indian Wells tournament in California. She lost in straight sets to Australian Open champion Aryna Sabalenka, missing out on a place in the last 16. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.